adore you. We say, come, have your way. Come have your way in our hearts. Come have your way in our lives, our relationships, our homes. Lord, come have your way in Worcester. God Almighty, we exalt you over this town. We exalt you over this region. Thank you, God, that you are here right now. All things are possible. All things are possible. Come on, say it. All things are possible.
All things are possible.
All things are possible. When God's in the house and he's here. So Lord, we honor you. We thank you. I pray that we would live lives of surrendered worship unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just put our hands together for the Lord. Come on, just honor him. Jesus, we worship you. Amen, amen. It's wonderful to be here. You may take your seats. We just want to keep on worshiping until next time that the Bucks win. It's just beautiful worship. Thank you to the worship band. Let's give them a hand. That's just so, so special. It's such an honor to be here. It's just what we love to do, is something that God has been using me in, is to unlock the things of the Spirit, to help churches and pastors and people in general to move deeper into the things of the Spirit. This is my life passion, and I have many prophetic words about this over my life, and I'm living that journey, because that's what God has been doing in us over this last 10 plus years, changing us and changing others by his grace. So here's a photo of my family. You can put that on, please. My wife, that's not my family. That's my wife, Sonica, son Vian. Sonica works with me at the church. He's worship, like worship pastor, assistant pastor. And my son Vian, who's 14, and he loves the Lord, and I love them very much. My wife's name is Sonica, and say, is he son Skane and my lever. And I've often told her, and I mean that if I have to choose tomorrow to lay down ministry, if I have to choose between my wife and ministry, I choose my wife. She's my the passion of my life. And but praise God, I hope we don't have to make those choices. But sometimes you have to make those choices daily, to prioritize family, to prioritize marriage, to prioritize the loved ones in one's life. And so we started a fivefold ministry academy. There should be a slide about that. Okay, so it's about reviving the church, unlocking the fivefold, equipping the saints. If you want to know how to have more of Jesus, embrace the fivefold: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And so we do an interview every month with a different fivefold minister: apostles, and then a prophet, and then a pastor, then a teacher, and evangelist, and a leader. And so we release it on Kingdom Unleashed YouTube channel. You're welcome to go check it out. I recently released an exciting video about demons causing cancer. That was very exciting. So go check that one out. That is this. Anyway, so you can check. You can go to the website kingdomunleashed.net, and there's a questionnaire thing that you can fill in to figure out your own wiring in terms of the fivefold. And then I wrote this book called Increasing Heaven's Flow, and I just really felt I want to bless you guys as a church. So I told Pastor Rick that we will send 50 of the books. It's normally 100 rand per book, and I just want to bless you guys, because what this weekend and this month is about activating you. It's about trusting God for a release of life into you, even as some of the testimonies were, that something shifted. You need that. You need an encounter with God to shift you into where God wants to take you. But then the rest of the work is renewing your mind, aligning your thinking with the Word of God. And that's why I wrote this book, is to help people. There's declarations in it every day. There's like 40 days of, there's a truth in every day. Then there's a short teaching, and then there's declarations. And I want to encourage you guys. So I think he's already given out 40 plus of the books. There's about 10 there on the table at the back that we want to. So if you haven't received one yet, you can just go and grab one. Okay. But I want any men in the house that hasn't received one yet, and it's your birthday in this next month. Any birthday men? In November? Birthday? December? That hand went up first over here. Come on, yes. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Happy birthday for December. Okay, so it really is the key to revival, the key for having more of God is to renew your mind. The fight is here. It is not out there. I have discovered that your environment never determines anything. It is all about what's happening on the inside. There are no hard places for God. I have discovered it doesn't matter where I go. If there's faith in the house, the kingdom of God comes. Amen? And so often we have unbelieving thoughts about our environments. We're like, oh, Worcester is a really tough place. You don't know how difficult the people in Worcester is, that kind of thing, you know. Or most pastors say, you know, wherever they are, that's where the gates of hell, that's the gates of hell. And the satanic coven of South Africa is there. You know, the main Kunane, you know, all that. It's just nonsense. Jesus won the ultimate battle at the cross. We've won the World Cup. We've won the Universe Cup. It's done. It cannot be undone. Jesus' victory at the cross is permanent, everlasting, and you and I can access it. I want to share in this message with you. I want to talk about revival. When is revival? One day in the future. One day, Lord, the church is like that guy. We've got those stupidos, ons is reg. It's like, revival, Lord. Let revival come. And then we pray, and then we pray. And we're like, one day, we are hoping that God's going to do something. I have discovered that this is, I'm going to show you from the scriptures now, but revival is right now. Revival is right now. If you unlock your faith and you access the victory of Christ at the cross, the kingdom comes. Bodies are healed. Demons go. People are saved. Lives are transformed. That's just how it works. Okay, but the key is you need to contend for faith. And so the church is like in the desert and we're looking for heavy rains. When's the heavy rains going to come? And ultimately it's unbelief that is our problem in the church. So dead religion is marked by unbelief. In other words, it says one day something good's going to happen. Well, I think God can do it, but one day. You know what? Real Christianity is about faith, and faith is always drawing the kingdom into the now. Jesus was our example when he was ministering. He said, the kingdom is at hand. Repent, turn, change your way of thinking. The kingdom is here now. And then what did Jesus do? He healed the sick, he cast out demons, he set people free. Jesus was a walking revival, and he showed us what is possible in the kingdom of God if we would just transition from our unbelief into authentic faith. And I know some of the things I'm going to say now is going to be really challenging to us, for we are so bound by unbelief. And I was there. 2012, I was, my wife at that stage for about 3 years, she struggled with postnatal depression. She couldn't sleep basically for 3 years. And it was a terrible season of our lives. We planted the church in East London. Our son was just born. Then Sonica fell into postnatal depression. And for 3 years, we didn't have much joy. And it felt really tough. And the devil felt really strong and big. And so in that season, we were just desperate for more of God. And we started to pursue God. And at some point, I just realized that I need to learn from others who are walking in the miracle-working power of God. And so I started to read books. I started to watch videos. I started to go places to receive an impartation, like this weekend, to experience something shift. And praise God, Jesus healed my wife of the 3 years of insomnia. He healed a 26-year skin disease in that same season. Two other people were healed in 2012. And I was like, wow, this is beautiful, okay? And the end of 2012, the Lord said to me, there's an outpouring of healing coming. Trust me for this. And I saw a vision of an altar call where everybody got healed. And I was like, wow, one day that will be amazing. And I started to step out. I started to trust God for miracles, for healing, for what is in the scriptures, what were the promises that are already in the scriptures for us. And then suddenly God started to move. My past said, you don't have it. But the Word of God says you do. And so I had to, there was the fight of my life, 2012, 2013, 14, 15, 16, to shift my mindset from unbelief to faith. And now I have seen so many altar calls where everybody got healed. We saw 2013, 14, 15, about 1,200 people physically healed. I mean, authentic, genuine, medically confirmed miracles. Stage 4 cancers disappearing of people's bodies. We saw at times people who could hardly see anything, now they're seeing. People that are born deaf in the one ear and then they hear. We saw people who had 40 years of back problems, multiple operations healed. We saw knees healed, hundreds of backs healed. We've seen so many incredible things. What changed? Did God change? No. I changed. My mindset changed. I discovered who I am in Christ, and I discovered that Christ lives in me. And when you discover that, suddenly all things become possible. But most of the church in our nation is in the spiritual desert. Why? Unbelief. We are sick with unbelief. We are sick by living by our physical senses. It's called a carnal mindset. It's not just a sinful mindset. It's just living by what you feel. It's living by what you see. It is living by what is in front of you instead of living by who He is. I mean, Jesus in John chapter 4, he's thirsty. It's dry. The disciples are hungry. They go to town, Samaritan town. There's nothing happening. And then there's a lady that comes to the well for water. Jesus has words of knowledge about her. Unlocks her identity, shares the good news with her that He is the Messiah. She accepts Him in a sense. She runs to town. The whole town comes out. What does Jesus say? He says, lift up your eyes and see. The harvest fields are already ripe. But then He says, well, what do you say? 4 months and then harvest. She said, no, now. It's harvest time now. The moment you step into the Spirit, the moment you see with prophetic eyes what God is doing, and you align yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit, suddenly the kingdom comes. Amen? It's just epic. It changes your life. You can never be the same again. Christianity is the greatest adventure ever, but only when it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I was at a conference this week, a Congolese church in Cape Town, and I've been there 2 years ago, and it was just incredible. The Wednesday night, 20 people came forward. Every single one of them were healed. Thursday night, the power of God falls upon the place. People start manifesting demons like all over the show. It looks like a war zone. And then Jesus starts setting them free, one after the other. It was just amazing. And then at the end of the evening, I was like, okay, guys, I should go, but hey, let's pray for a few sick people. So there's another 20 people that line up. Every single one of them were healed that we could test. Revival is now. Amen? Come on, give Jesus praise for that. Jesus heals. I can't heal a headache. If you've been through life long enough, you discover you can do nothing. And I shared some of our trials and challenges over this weekend. I've been through stuff. The Lord has broken me so many times so that when He heals, I know who it is. It is Him. He does the miracle. I do not. I can do nothing without Him. Neither can you. But with Him, all things are possible. Amen? So I want to take you to a few scriptures, but I want to unpack for you this whole concept of revival is now. And I know this is so challenging because we are so used to living by our physical senses. But there's this journey that we need to go along on. You start where you are and you take your next step in the right direction and you'll find your faith increasing and increasing and increasing. Okay, so I want to encourage you with that. But the kingdom of God is at hand. So many are dying in the desert. Now, this is what it's truly like. If you can look into the Spirit, that is called grace. Many are living in the desert, but when Jesus died at the cross, He purchased for us what is called grace. Grace is an undeserved gift. Those are living waters. Living waters. And what you and I want to do is we want to open the sluice gates. It's available. Healing is available. Freedom is available. Salvation is available. Relational restoration is available. Everything we need in Christ is available. But if you're living in the desert, it's going to feel like this is not available. So you have to move spiritually. You have to reposition yourself in the place of faith where you connect yourself to that. And then you have to open the sluice gates. Okay, which is basically the key verse in my book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, speaks about rivers of living waters flowing forth from your inner being. And it is phenomenal when you experience this. In other words, it is not you that do a miracle, it is Christ through you. It's like there's a river of life from heaven, it flows into you, and then it flows through you. And when it flows, people are set free and healed and saved, and the kingdom of God comes. Amen. The 2009, when we started in East London, I think in one service we had 13 people. 13 people. I'm like, God, what am I doing in East London? I don't know if this is going to work. Went through our 3 years of challenges. Then we started to make changes. Thinking differently. My wife and I, we struggled so much with joy. We carried so many heavy burdens. We were struggling. Ministry was hard. And then we start to make the transitions, changes in our thinking, positioning ourselves in the presence of God, beginning to believe all that Jesus has won for us at the cross. And then suddenly things change. We have more joy than ever. We're having more fun than ever. There are incredible miracles breaking out. We had the other day 500 adults in church. We went from 13 to 500. And I sing in tongues at times. We talk about demons. We talk about challenging, crazy stuff. And it's just like people just keep on coming. Why? Because they want Jesus. They want life. They want freedom. You know, and so often when this is how we start, I was just so desperate to grow the church. I'm too afraid to preach what I need to preach about because I don't want to lose people. And I don't want the church to go too long because people can't handle long services. So I realized, well, God isn't here. So I was like, no, we're going to go for it. We're going to worship. We're gonna pursue the Lord. And now the people in our church, they don't want to miss anything. They've got FOMO. I am afraid of missing out because I know God's going to show up. You know, that's what you want. God in the house. But then you have to set your heart and your mind on where the Lord wants you to go. And that's what we spoke about Friday evening. Are you following the crowd or are you following the cloud? You can't do both. Dead religion is about people pleasing. The true deal is about, God, I want to honor you. I want to please you. I want to do your will. So follow, guys. I want to remind you guys again, follow the cloud. Set your hearts and your mind on the fullness of his presence and pursue. So when are we going to arrive? What if you and I, in Christ, we've already arrived? And I know, ultimately the kingdom will be concluded one day when we go to heaven. That will be the conclusion of everything. But what if you and I have already arrived? Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is the position of a believer, in Christ. Now, who's the destination? Jesus. What if you and I, when we are in Christ, our position in Christ, what if we have already arrived? Then he says, when you are in Christ, when you've surrendered your life to Jesus, it says, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Past tense, have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Come on, say all things. All things have become new. And but now some of you might say, but are you sure, Andre? Because you know, I gave my life to Jesus. I looked in the mirror that morning. I was like overweight. I gave my life to Jesus. Next day, I'm still overweight, Andre. Everything isn't new. What's going on here? What is this speaking about? It speaks about your spirit. You are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. The moment you commit your life to Christ and you are born again by the Holy Spirit, you are a new creation. Your spirit is perfect. The perfection of Jesus is given to you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus become our righteousness, our right standing with God. You are washed with the blood of Jesus. Your spirit man is made perfect. Washed clean, renewed. You're a new creation. Old things gone. All things new. But your mind is not fully renewed yet. Your body isn't fully renewed. That will be completed the day you enter heaven. You receive a new body. And for all the men of six-pack as well, praise God. Come on. There's hope. There's hope. Okay, but so you are completely made new in your spirit. The fight of your life is now to get your mind renewed, to click what you've already received in the spirit. That's the fight. You're already new. New creation. Then you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The power of God comes and lives within you. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit become one. And now you've got unlimited access to the fullness of God. Unlimited access to peace and joy and life and healing and freedom and whatever else you need in life. Your spirit is one with His Holy Spirit. God the Father looks at you and is like, I see Jesus. You're not God, but He's seeing the perfection of Christ because of the blood of the Lamb. But now, how do you open the sluice gates? Renew your mind. Align your mind with what God has already done with you in your spirit. If you are a born-again believer in Christ, if you're not, you need to commit your life to Jesus, that He can transform you. But the fight is here. Come on, point to your head and say, the fight is here. The fight is here. This is where the fight is. It's a huge fight. It's a massive fight. Especially if you've been like, I was a pastor for 10 years, full-time ministry for 10 years, and I had to be like, okay, you're a baby. You know nothing. Let's learn. Let's change our way of thinking. Let's get the stinking thinking out. There's so much stinking thinking in our world. We pray for somebody, they don't get healed. We assume it's not the will of God. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus paid already for all these things. When Jesus hung on the cross, when He breathed His last, or just before it, He said, it is finished. What happened there? What happened in that moment when He died for us on the cross? What happened? He paid the price for all our sins, past, present, future. In other words, it doesn't matter whatever we ever happen or whatever sin we might be struggling with, Jesus paid the price. You repent, you turn to Jesus, He will forgive you, He'll wash you clean, He'll make you new. No shame. What did Jesus do at the cross? He overcame death at the cross. As believers, we're no longer afraid of death. It's like, we're free. No fear of death. Jesus vanquished death. What did He also do at the cross when He was whipped? He paid for our healing. By His stripes, we will be healed. We have been healed. Now, I know this is difficult because like, but I'm not seeing it. Don't live by your senses. Live by the truth of God's word. The carnal mindset causes you to become, the Bible says, an enemy of God. You fight against His will because of you living according to earthly, physical senses. You need a renewed mind. So Jesus paid for your sins. He overcame death. He vanquished all evil. We spoke about that yesterday. Jesus overcame the enemy. And He paid for the healing. He overcame death. He did it all. It's like the box last night, we won. It's on the scoreboard. No one can ever take that away from us now. Even if they now check on the videos, oh, something was that wrong decision there. Whatever. We've won. I want to say to you, Jesus won. He won. If you're a born-again believer in Christ, you've got one straight ticket to heaven one day. No fear of death. I refuse to be afraid of death. I refuse to buckle even when people around me die because I know Jesus overcome this in the name of Jesus. And I often tell people, everyone's going to get healed. You're like, oh, everybody's going to get healed. The latest is one day when you walk into heaven. Amen? You get a new body. That's the latest. You are anchored in eternity as a child of God. No fear about death. No fear about sickness or sin, because Jesus paid for this. And you are now in Christ, so you have access to unlimited grace. Rivers are like that massive dam full of water. Grace. How do you access it? By faith. By faith, we draw the future reality. When you walk into heaven one day, you will receive that new body. By faith, we can draw that victory or that future reality into the now. Be healed now, in Jesus' name. And by faith, we can take the victory at the cross, and by the Holy Spirit, that victory is released into our physical, tangible environment right now. That's what's available. Rivers of life. Come on, say it. It is finished. You're a new creation. You are in Christ. Stop living as if you're not, if you're a believer in Jesus. Discover what you already have. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, that is Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Now we're not God, but we are, everything that is His is now ours as sons and daughters of God. Grace plus faith. You need to add faith and then you receive grace, that rivers of life. I love how somebody says that, you know, it's so much easier to release what you already have compared to trying to fight for something that you don't have. Jesus said at one point, He commanded His disciples, said, go, heal the sick, command, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And then what does He say after that? Freely you have received, freely give. So you have it. But now you need to change your way of thinking to open those sluice gates so that grace can flow forth. So I like how one guy said, it's like, there's the pulpit, I'm here. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to be healed, or I'm going to be set free, or I'm going to have something in the future. It's a good place to start, okay? But a lot can happen from here to there. You can stumble, you can fall, the enemy can come and steal it from you, whatever. But it's different to stand at the pulpit and you say, I have been healed. I know this is messing with one's mind, eh? But it says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I have been healed. So I'm fighting not to get something. I'm fighting for something that I already have in the Spirit. That is called faith. Okay? And I know this is very difficult for our mindset because we're so used to unbelief. But if you live in the reality of what Jesus has paid for you, you see the kingdom show up. You see the kingdom of God manifesting in a glorious way. The fight is in your mind. So I was in Ivory Coast last year, church of 2,000 people, and it was a big step because it's the first time I went to a relatively large church without a team of people to pray for people. When we went to Brazil, it was a church of 6,000 people, but I had a whole team of people, so we were praying for hours for people. But now I'm in Ivory Coast, and it's an evangelistic crusade. I sit there in the church, and I look out on the screen, and suddenly it says, evangelistic crusada. I said, guys, you didn't tell me it's an evangelistic crusade the 5 nights that I am here. Okay, this language, French language thing. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, well, how are we going to do this now? So I'm going to preach my thing, but then I mean, there's Muslims all around this in area, so that people are inviting Muslim people. And I was like, God, you have to show up. You have to reveal your power that they might see that Jesus is the real deal, okay? The original biblical gospel, He's not just proclaiming, it is demonstrating the kingdom. So now I'm like, okay, I preach about Jesus being the healer, and about 100 people come forward, 100 people. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, I'm on the inside, I'm buckling. Unbelief is settling in because I can't pray for everybody. And this has to happen quickly because we have to have testimonies so that people will turn to Christ. Okay, so now I'm like, God, help me. So I see a lady on the side who has crutches. And I'm like, okay, I have a plan. I'm going to pray for the lady with crutches because I have faith to lay hands on people. I've seen many people physically healed through the laying on of hands. So I'm going to lay hands on the crutch lady and at least she will testify and at least we will have one genuine miracle. So I'm on my way to the crutch lady and the Lord says to me, stop trying to help. So I stop. I go back to the podium. And the Lord challenged me. He said, just pray. Don't lay hands on people. Just speak in the name of Jesus. I will back you up. There's a heavenly ministry team in the house. Just trust me. So I am on the inside, I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, God, we're going to do this. So we pray in the name of Jesus, and I address a bunch of conditions. First time I tell people, okay, check your bodies. Not much is happening. Now I'm really like, God, Jesus! And then we pray again in the name of Jesus, and we release the presence and the power of God over them. And then suddenly about 50 out of the 100 got healed without us touching them. At other times, all over the venue, over the rest of the week, people were getting healed all over the venue. The one lady shared how she was, I prayed the first time, nothing happened. She had major eye condition problems. And she closed her eyes at some point. I prayed, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then she says she saw an angel smearing a golden liquid in her eyes. And when she opened her eyes, she could see perfectly. Came forward and testified. Beautiful. Another lady testified she had a skew back. So like the spine is skew. She felt, no one was touching, but she felt the fire of God burning through her body, and then her spine went straight. She came and testified. Person after person after person came to testify about how Jesus healed them. And then people got saved. People turned to Christ. Amen? Come on, give Jesus praise for that healing and His power. He is the healer. But I realize even for me, you know, the Bible says if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll speak to the mountain and it will move. But then it says, but do not allow unbelief. Unbelief cancels out belief. So you have a carriage and you have horses, and the horses are faith and they're pulling the carriage that direction. But now you have unbelief. Unbelief is like horses on the other direction, pulling the other way, and it neutralizes your faith. And that's what I experienced the one night in Ivory Coast. I was like, at some point, I was like buckling, and they're like, what? And I just felt the anointing shut down. So we were at Shofar Wellington this year, in February. And in the evening service, the Saturday night, I was like, okay, we've seen so many people healed already. It's just amazing. It's beautiful. But then I just felt the Lord say, only pray for 20-year-plus conditions. Call these things out. So it was hearing, backs, knees, something else as well. I think about 8 people came forward, and I was just like, no unbelief allowed. I'm not going to buckle under the lies of the enemy. Jesus is here, and He's going to heal them. And I felt the Lord say, I'm going to back you. So I'm like, God, You're going to back me. Let's do this. Basically, 7 out of the 8 were healed. 20-plus year conditions. So what I'm trying to say is, faith is the challenge. Belief is the challenge. You have to start where you are at now, and you need to take that next step forward. How do you grow into seeing revival now? You need to grow in faith. How do you grow in faith? Be faithful with what you have in your hand right now and take that next step forward, okay? I know we're all on different parts of our journey with God, but the starting point is renounce unbelief. Refuse to allow unbelief to tell you you're not good enough. You come to church and you're like, well, God's upset with you. You didn't read your Bible this week. Whoa. No, you say, no, I'm in Christ. I am one with Him in the Spirit. Jesus is in me and I'm welcome in His presence. By faith, and then you step into His presence. Not working for it, just receiving it. Amen? So come on, say faith. Come on, say it. I renounce unbelief in Jesus' name. If Jesus lives in you, as the Word of God says, come on, then surely something should happen. Surely your prayers should be heard. Surely there should be a demonstration of the kingdom because Jesus lives in you. That's what the Bible says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, say it. Jesus lives in me. Okay, I'm getting you to say it because this is a lifestyle I have developed. I make declarations continuously, declarations of truth. I take the Word of God, I put it in my mouth, and I declare it until I believe it and until the kingdom comes. So you have to contend for faith if you want to walk in the fullness of God. So we're not begging God, oh God, bring revival. We're like, God, I know You're with me. I know You're for me. And I am praying in the Spirit and I am contending, but I already have it. And now we're going to release it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're no longer in the desert. If you live by faith, you are connected to that dam of unlimited grace, and now you can release the glory, the goodness of God. So look at this, Ephesians 4:17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Come on, say futility. Futility of their mind. If you live by your natural senses, your natural intellect, then the result is there, having their understanding darkened. It's like, I'm not feeling it, I'm not seeing it. Then being alienated from the life of God, the disconnect with the life of God, in the desert because of the unbelief, the futile mindset, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Okay? So that's the result of living by your intellect instead of living from the truth of God's word in your spirit and your mind renewed. You need to see by the Spirit. John 7:38. Jesus says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his heart. He who believes. Come and say, believe. That's the qualifying factor. He who believes out of his heart. By faith, you position yourself in Christ. By faith, you position yourself at the dam of unlimited supply of living waters. By faith, you believe in all that Jesus won at the cross. So now you can step out. You can believe your prayers will be heard. You can pray for somebody and expect something incredible to happen. And if something doesn't happen, then you go back to Jesus and you say, "Okay, Lord, something needs to change. I know the fault's not on your side. You've paid for this. You've paid for this. God, let your kingdom come." Okay? So out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit." Okay? Spoke about the Spirit. Then Jude 20, "So how do you grow in faith? But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." This is so important. It's like, you know, charismatic churches. What's the definition of charismatic church? It's normally those who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and they pray in tongues. Okay, that's sort of traditionally how it is. But these days, it's like people have lost belief in the power of God and even in the power of praying in tongues. So there's a guy called David Hogan. He's an American missionary in Mexico. I think I shared a little bit about this over the weekend, but I just want to recap for those who weren't there. So they have seen, he planted like 1,000+ churches in Mexico. They have seen 500 people raised from the dead. 500 raised from the dead. He said they, in the last year or two, they have seen limbs reappear. There's no foot, now there's a foot. There's no arm, now there's an arm. So he was saying, he came to minister at our church at a conferencing, and he said, "Raising the dead is easy. Growing limbs back, now that is a challenge." I'm like, Lord, this man is in another dimension. You know, he shares stories about how he fasts. He fasts a few times a year, 40-day fasts. He said he fasts sometimes 18 to 20 days, no water, no food. You should be dead after 3 days. He fasts. I'm like, I am intimidated by what this man is sharing. He shares every morning, 4 o'clock, he gets up and he prays for hours and hours and hours. I'm like, God, I struggle to get up 4 in the morning and pray. I pray when there's ministry times, I pray a lot, then I pray late in the night and early in the morning, but to consistently at 4, I just haven't been able to do it. So I respond on the altar call and he prays for people. He prays for me twice on 2 days. You won't believe it. This is now in June. It's like the next day, 4 o'clock, I'm awake. And I feel good. 4 o'clock. And so since June of this year, something has shifted in me. Between 4 and 5 in the morning, I wake up, no matter what my alarm says. I wake up, I go into the living room, I open my Bible, my audio Bible. I see it and I listen to it. And then I pray in the Spirit. For hours and hours and hours, just enjoying the presence of God. I tell you, something has changed in me. Something has shifted. So God has already paid for it, But you need to take up your place in the Spirit. How do you do it? Pray in the Spirit. That verse says it in Jude, verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. Okay? Praying in tongues, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a secondary thing after coming to salvation. It is one of the signs to pray in tongues. It empowers your spirit to fellowship with God. And that is, go back to that verse, Jude 20, to the verse. So it says there, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Come on, say building up. Building up. It's like going to the gym. And you strengthen, you pump iron, your spirit becomes strong, and you receive everything Jesus purchased for you at the cross. It is in your spirit. Another way of seeing it would be, and I'm almost finished, but another way of seeing it is like, you know, it's like your spirit is like a generator. And as you're praying in the Spirit, as you're praying in tongues, this non-understandable language from your spirit, it is like the power of the Holy Spirit gets built up within you, in your spirit man. And then when you pray for the sick, the power of God is released. Or when there's a demon that manifests, there's authority to command it to go. We spoke about that yesterday. So Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, build yourself up, okay, as a lifestyle, praying in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit yet, trust God to be baptized. We can actually pray for people today to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, second last verse, Galatians 2, verse 20. Another key here. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Have been. Have been. What is one of the biggest blocks for the power of God in our lives? Number one, carnal mindset, okay? Thinking fleshly, thinking just human, like, as I said, you just, what you see, what you feel, what you, that is determining your thinking, okay? Carnal mindset. Another aspect is what's called the flesh, okay? The flesh, selfishness, sinful desires, all those kind of things that obviously lead to shame and guilt in the believer's life when we feel like, oh, we're not doing things right. Now, I have good news. It says, you have been crucified with Christ. You're dead. Amen? The old you, the sinful you, have already been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There you have it again. Christ lives in me by the Holy Spirit. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Some translation says not I live by faith in the Son of God. It says I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now that takes things in a completely different dimension. Because we're like, I need to build up my faith. Well, what if you already have it in your spirit? The faith of the Son of God within you. You have been crucified. Whatever sinful thing you might be struggling with, you, the old you, the sinful you, the part of you that you don't like, already been crucified. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you receive that in your spirit. You receive the reality of that victory and you get over yourself. You see, dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't get offended. If you've been crucified with Christ, you don't get offended when people treat you like dirt. You don't get offended. You're just a servant. I'm just a servant of the Lord. And every time I get focused on self, things get weird. But when I just realize I have been crucified with Christ, I'm dead. Is Christ in me? I'm here to serve the purposes of God. I tell you, get out of the way and rivers of life flood forth. It is just phenomenal. I've seen this so many times. Just laying hands on people, praying for people. It's like I can sense a river of life flooding forth. It feels like I'm standing in a river of life. And people are getting healed and set free. And they're having encounters with God. And their hearts are getting healed. It is phenomenal. I'm sharing that because I want to stir your faith. That you start pursuing that for yourself. For the glory of God. And then thirdly, last point, if you want to experience revival is now, embrace the power of thanksgiving. Be thankful for what you have. And then trust God for more. Come on, there's more. There's more of God available than what you are experiencing right now in your life. For me, there's more of God available that I'm experience now. I haven't seen people raised from the dead. I know that's part of my inheritance in Christ. The path to seeing the glory of God is that you have to go through, you have to pray for people who are dead. It's really tough. 3-year-old drowned. You go to the morgue. That's tough. We've done that. Challenging. You know, they asked Smith Wigglesworth, how do you do it, Smith? You've raised like, what, 15 people from the dead. He said, well, if you've prayed for as many dead people as I have, then surely some must get up. Amen. You know, so you have to step out. You have to be thankful for what you have, and then you need to step into the more. At a pastor summit, one of our Shofar pastor summits a few years ago, I was sharing with the guys, there's more. Because this is my life message, calling the church higher. There's more. You're missing out on the more. You're missing out on the adventure. Come on, guys. Let's open the doors for the Holy Spirit. Come on, guys. Let's shift our faith from unbelief to real faith. Come on, guys. So by what people often do is they look at me and they look at the stories I share and they say, oh, well, Andre has a special gift. I would say absolutely rubbish. You can have it also. Obviously, there will be different measures of what God gives us, but every believer is supposed to pray for the sick and they get healed. That is what God wants for us. Just shift from the unbelief. Okay, so anyway, so I was at this pastor's summit a few years ago. I think I woke up around 2 o'clock in the morning. It's one of those days, a rare day. I woke up at 2. I prayed nonstop until 8 o'clock in the morning. I was just praying this way. I had this burden to pray. I go to the pastor's summit. I've been speaking about there is more. And so during worship, I'm praying in tongues and I get a one-liner. And I know this is not a heavenly language. This is a human language. And I say, Vera mas se. Vera mas se. I go to Google Translate. Vera mas se. Auto find. What language is this? Comes out, it's Spanish. And it says, I will see more. Isn't that awesome? Prophetic sign. Keep on following me. That's what God is saying. Don't allow disappointments to kill your faith. Don't allow offenses to bring bitterness and things. Don't allow unbelief to kill you. Don't allow the opinions of man to break you down. Don't stop pursuing me, Andre. Don't stop pursuing me, Church of Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Keep on. Come on, the glory. The glory is coming. When we keep on, revival is now when we step out. And so I want to invite you as a church. I want to commission you as a church. Do not accept where you have been. Thankful for everything you do have. Praise God. I say, God, there's more. Come and say it, there's more. There's more. There's more. Shift your unbelieving mindset and start pursuing the Lord, praying in the Spirit, being thankful for what you have, trusting for an increase in faith by getting into the Word of God, filling your heart and your mind with the Word of God. You will experience the goodness and the glory of God in your life. I guarantee it. God is no man's, you know, he doesn't like look at one person and like them more than another person. He's not a respecter of people. That's what the Word of God says. Believe it, that it is for you. Amen. And then start speaking life. 1 Peter 1:13, ending with this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, don't allow nonsense in your brain. Don't allow unbelief in your mind. Things like, it's not, I'm not going to work for me or whatever. No. Jesus paid for all of this. It's for you. Be sober. And then rest your hope fully upon the grace, the dam of unlimited supply of living waters. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus, faith is unlocked. When you're like in the scriptures and suddenly you see another aspect of the glory of God, you're like, oh, I have faith. I often experience it. I'm reading something, suddenly I see it. It unlocks faith and then the kingdom comes. It is glorious. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Trust, contend to see Him. Set your eyes on Him. He's the goal. He's the destination. You're in Christ. You've arrived. but there's more. Amen? There's more. Come on, say it. Revival is now. Amen. And if you're not experiencing it, shift your mindset. And what I've discovered is that this is one of the keys. This is why the fivefold ministry is so powerful, is that you can catch what others carry. Like I did with David Hogan, he prayed for me. Suddenly, there's just an increase of grace to walk in the presence of God. You can catch evangelistic grace by honoring the evangelist. Supernatural grace to see people turn to Christ. You can catch apostolic grace that takes your faith into another dimension. You can catch miracle working grace. It's called impartation. Amen? And we're trusting for this weekend for that impartation. So come on, say, revival is now. Amen. 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 Speak life. Agree with what God is saying. Amen. Worship team, you can join us on stage. Please stand with me. We really felt over this weekend that God is giving you tools. He's giving you the spiritual tools to release, to step into